guys, my name is Eden Richardson. I'm the Discipleship Director here at First Baptist Rock Hill. Thank you so much for tuning in from our pastor's sermon from this past Sunday. We are so excited for what God's going to teach you through His Word today. We hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you listen. Also, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel where you will get to see these weekly sermons. We hope you enjoy it, and thank you so much.
It brings back some memories. I remember when I had dark hair. And I still have that shovel from the groundbreaking. I had planned to bring that, but with all that's going on, I forgot to do that today. But we're so glad you're here. We're going to take a few moments to celebrate and give God thanks for our journey, for the relocation, for what He's done and continues to do and will do. And if you'll reach in front of you in the back of the chair, you'll see a handout and a card that looks like this. Grab one of those, please. I want to walk you through some of this because many of you are newer to our church, and this will let you know a little bit about our journey. I have to say the first date needs correcting. Our church was actually founded and organized in 1878. I came as pastor in 87. And in 1991, we established what was called the Long Range Planning Committee that would serve for many years and guide the relocation process. And you see the names of those who were serving in 2004 at the bottom of that card. But it was in March of 1996 that our church family gathered and voted by secret ballot with a 93% yes vote by secret ballot to buy the 52 acres here at Dave Lyle Boulevard where we worship the Lord today. And then in March of 2003, we gathered out here basically in this area about where many of you are seated and toward Dave Lyle for our groundbreaking. And then the last Sunday of March in 2004, we had our last service downtown. And then the first Sunday in April, 20 years ago, was the first worship service in this worship center. So that's part of our history, as well as behind us, phase two, the rock and apex where the students minister and worship, the gymnasium and the office building. We opened that in December of 2007. And just a little bit of the financial history. You can see there the total investment since 1996 in buying the land, building and developing everything, architectural costs, engineering costs, on and on we could go, is, as you see there, $17.7 million. Significant investment. But I also want you to notice that 10 years ago, in 2014, our debt at that time was $6,500,000. What do you think our debt is today? Well, let's see. $854,000. It is amazing what God has done. And I also want you to notice one more thing on that card. So in all these years, while we've been building and paying for our campus here, and by the way, just the dirt, if you take the buildings off, the dirt is worth almost $17 million on our 52 acres. So God has provided for us graciously and generously. But during the last 20 years since we've been here, you have generously given, listen to this, $7.1 million to missions. Did you hear that? To miss $7.1 million to missions in 20 years. So it's not been just about buying property and building buildings. We've continued to support missionaries. We're one of the top giving churches in the Southern Baptist Convention to international missions year after year. And God has blessed us. You have been generous. We're doing ministry, and I thank Him for that. But I want to suggest a goal, okay? What do you say that by the last day of December this year, we're debt-free? What do you think about that? Let's pay off that $854,000 this year and have no debt come January of next year. That's going to be our goal. That's what we're going to do. But I want to have some fun for a few moments. The Long Range Planning Committee members in 2004, we've had several of them in the earlier services, I'm not sure. Are any Long Range Planning Committee members from then in this service? If you would, go ahead and stand so we can say thank you. I see Terry here. I'm trying to look around. Terry, you get all the applause today. Those members served tirelessly, many, many meetings, long meetings, and worked hard. And Jim Davis, who was in the 830 service, chaired that committee for 20 years and did a phenomenal job. His fingerprints are all over this place. But I want to recognize some others, too. If you were in the worship service downtown in March of 1996 when we voted to buy this land, if you were there when we voted, would you stand? You were in the service. Would you stand if you were in that service? Go ahead. Be proud. Stand up. Now, remain standing. Now, hey, those of you who are standing, look around. Everybody else you see in this room, as well as those in the other two services, you made this possible by having the faith to vote and make that decision. And by the way, those of you who are enjoying the blessings of this church today, you need to say thank you to these who are standing because they had the courage to say, let's go forward. Thank you all. If you were here, we gathered out here in March of 2003 with our shovels and yellow hats and had a groundbreaking. If you were here with your shovel and yellow hat and you participated in the groundbreaking for this campus, would you stand? You were here in 2003. Go ahead, stand. Yeah. A few more. All right. If you were here when we had our first service in 2004 in this room, would you stand? Yeah? Go ahead, remain standing. By the way, in the middle service, help me, probably about 60% of the middle service, which is our traditional and older service, about 60% of them have joined our church since we moved out here. And in the first service, it was about 90%. And so I just praise God. When we made these decisions, it was for you guys. So thank you. Now, I'm going to change directions. A couple more groups I want to stand. If you have become you started attending First Baptist Church after we moved here, would you stand? Wow. Some of you are saying, I've been born since then. All right, thank you, you can be seated. One last group, we have our baptistry up here, but we've also had a few services we brought in a portable baptistry and baptized people out here. But if you've been baptized in this worship center, would you stand right now? Amen, amen. There have been more than 900 people baptized in this room since we moved out here, and I praise God for all of that. I want us to take some time to pray, and part of what I want to pray, paying off the debt by the end of this year, a couple ways you can help with that. The first Sunday in May 5, we're going to have a chest of Joash offering. There will be a chest here, and I'm asking you between now and then to pray about what you can do sacrificially to bring an offering and put it in that chest on that Sunday. Also, just week to week, month to month, between now and the end of the year, when you give, you're giving your tithes. Don't change that, but as you're able to give beyond or in addition to that, give to the building fund is what we call it. Online on the giving page, there's a building fund. Put building fund on the memo of your check if you write a check. And you can help us pay this off by the end of this year. But I'm going to ask you to come to that. So would everybody stand? Let's gather at the altar. Rick Motley, who is our chair of deacons, and he's been in our church since 2019, so he's a newer member as well. And I want us to pray here at the altar. So come on down. We're going to thank God for what he's done and ask for God's hand and power and blessing to be on us today and going forward. So come on down and kneel, and let's pray together. And you can kneel on the floor in the aisles. And if you're not able to kneel, just be seated. Understand, that's okay. So come on down and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. And take a moment and go ahead and pray your own prayer, and feel free to kneel right in the aisle. That's okay. We'll give another minute for people to come on down. All right, now pray your own prayer for just a second. Thank God for this church and for our journey, for his provision. And thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life. And pray for our future and our obedience. Brother Rick.
Reminders of how much we have to be grateful for. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and thank you for the faithfulness of so many for years before even the planning committee started. But then from that point forward, Lord, thank you for just all that we've seen come to fruition. And God, thank you for such a generous group of people that you have placed here at First Baptist, God, not only to give in such a way to provide a facility such as this, Lord, with your blessing, but also to give to missions, to spread the gospel around the world. Thank you for all the baptisms. Lord, we pray for more, more people to come to faith in Christ, more people to feel welcome into this fellowship. And God, we just want to trust you for how you're going to bless the Joash offering and beyond to retire the rest of this debt. Father, we just ask you to keep your hand of blessing upon Pastor Steve and the rest of our staff. And Lord, that you'd raise up even new leaders among us, lay leaders who will also capture the vision and help power us forward by faith. Lord, whatever we do, we want it to bring glory to Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Thank you. Amen.
Well, would you take your Bible and open with me, please, to 1 Chronicles 28 in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 28. And while you're doing that, I want to say a personal word of appreciation and thanks to each of you who have been praying for me and my family these past couple of weeks, in particular with my mom's passing. And those prayers were needed, and they made a difference. Mom asked me to preach her funeral, which is not an easy thing to do. Your prayers, I think, made all the difference for I was able to do it. And a few hours before she died, the Holy Spirit gave me all in one setting in just 2 or 3 minutes the message for her funeral. And I praise God for that. So thank you for your prayers, all who have sent notes and cards and gifts, and those who drove to Kentucky to be with us. Thank you so very much. I need your prayers today, in part because I have 18 minutes to preach. Also in part because I still have a little bit of brain fog and so on from these recent days. But I want to preach from 1 Chronicles 28 on what God does, using the story of God using David and Solomon and many, many others to build the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, because it shows us what God did then. I believe you'll recognize it's what he's done in our journey as a church family. It's what he always does. When people love him, have the courage to trust him, and obey him, when they just step out in faith and say yes when Jesus speaks, there are things that he always does. And I want us to be reminded of those and encouraged today by looking at what God does when we love him, trust him, and obey him. And if you'll allow me the privilege, I'm going to reminisce a little bit during the sermon to help illustrate some of these lessons. So 1 Chronicles 28, David, the first king of the Jewish people, is in the latter days of his life. God had stirred his heart, and he wanted to build a temple for God, a house of God. And God said, David, you can't. You can. I'm going to give you all the plans and the vision, and you're going to make preparation, but it's your son Solomon that I've chosen to actually build it. And David said something to Solomon on the day Solomon was anointed as king, as his successor. I want us to look at what he said in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Chapter 28, verse 20 in your Bible. David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and act. Be strong and courageous and act. Obey. Do something. Do not fear, nor be dismayed." People who live in doubt and fear never do anything significant for the kingdom of God. He said, you can do this because the Lord God, my God. David says, my God, the Lord God, he's with you, Solomon. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Solomon, be courageous and act and obey and do the work, because God will not abandon you. God will not forsake you. He will be with you if you love him, if you trust him, and if you obey him. So four things God does real quickly. Number one, God always works in each and every generation. He's done it in the past, he's doing it today, and he will do it tomorrow. In verse 10 of chapter 28, David said to his son Solomon, "For the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act." There it is again. What he's saying is, Solomon, God gave me the vision for a temple. And he gave me, starting in verse 11 and following, the plans, the strategy, all the details for building that temple, but he's not going to let me build it. You have that privilege. Solomon, you will get to lead the building of the temple. You will get to worship in the temple. He gave me the vision and the plans, but Solomon, I'll never get to see it. I'll never get to worship in it. That's your privilege. But my part is, here's the plans and here's resources. And the lesson is that God does one thing in generation X, and he does a new work in generation Y, and then he does a fresh work in generation C, and it's a work for each season and for each generation, but it's all his work, all a part of his plan, and it all fits together. God's always at work. In every generation, he will always have a people. We purchased these 52 acres in March of 1996. Sometime later that year, one evening, our youth ministry, they gathered out here. Back this direction, it was all trees. From here forward, it was mostly grass and weeds and brush. And they came out in this area, somewhere over here toward the creek, and they built an altar out of rocks about this high. And those teenagers in 1996 gathered around that altar and they prayed for this church. The teenagers in this room right now, there were teenagers just like you. Today they would be in their mid-40s. You had not yet been born. And yet that evening in 1996, those teenagers got on their knees and they prayed so that you could have what you are enjoying today in this ministry. God works in every generation, and one generation builds upon those who came before it. None of us have the benefits of today without the faithful people of God and the faithfulness of God in past generations. That's just how God does his work. This baptistry up here where some of you have been baptized, you can't see it. You see the glass in the top of it, but it's basically a tub embedded up there. And if I could pull it out here and sit it on this stage so you could look at it, you could walk around all four sides of it and you would see on it written the names. Because there was an evening in 2003 while this building was being constructed that we gathered out here and prayed, and we took markers and we wrote names all over that baptistry of people we cared about who were lost, not following Jesus, because we were committing to pray for them and hoping to see them baptized after they were saved someday. And there are people in this church today whose names are written on that baptistry. See, God works in every generation, and we build upon what those who came before us did. Some of you are saved because there were people before you praying for you. We have an older member of our church. He moves slowly. His health is failing. Bob McElrath. Some of you know him. Bob was a plumber. And when we bought this land in 1996, for the next few years when it was just dirt and weeds and trees, he would bring his truck out here at lunch and eat lunch, sit in it, and pray for this church. You are a recipient of those prayers. God works in each and every generations. And so the question we have to answer is, what are we going to do that will have an impact on those who are here 20 years from now? So it's not just about today. It's being thankful for yesterday, but it's also knowing that we impact the kingdom of God in lives 10 years from now, 20 years from now, by what we do in our day. So what is this generation seated in this room right now going to do that impacts the future? God works in every generation, and to build second lesson, God blesses us, me and you, he blesses us with the resources that are needed to fund his work, his ministry. In 1 Chronicles, the next chapter, chapter 29, David says in verses 2 and 3, don't have time to read it, I'll summarize it for you, that over the years leading up to the time he was talking to Solomon, David had been giving and giving and giving and collecting resources. And then in verse 3, Solomon, I'm going to keep doing it. Even though I've already given, I'm going to give more. And then down in verse 6 of chapter 29, he says, the rulers and the leaders of the people, They gave willingly and sacrificially. And then in verse 9, he talks about the people giving with joy and gladness and rejoicing over. And then in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, he said, we give because God has blessed us and we're able to. I know some people don't like for churches to talk about money, and it's been a while since you heard me preach on it. But money's a part of life. It's a part of ministry. And when I surrender my life to Jesus, I surrender my money to Jesus. And he funds this ministry through the faithful, generous, and sacrificial giving of his people. He's given us everything we need. If we want to pay this debt, feel led to pay this debt off this year, we have the resources. We have it. We just have to trust God and give it. I remember the Sunday afternoon when we voted by a 93% secret ballot vote to buy this 52 acres. The following Monday morning, there was an elderly couple came to my office. I can still see them. I remember them. They're in heaven today. She was so sweet, so humble, so sweet. And early that Monday morning, she gave me a check for $10,000 and said she wanted to be the first person to give toward buying the land for the future church. I remember a man, a little bit older, he's in heaven today as well. And he received an inheritance, I don't know how much, but he gave $40,000 to help build this church. And the week between the last worship service downtown and the first worship service in this room, he died. He never got to worship in here, but he made it possible for me and you to do that. That's part of our DNA as a family of faith. This church was established and organized in 1878 downtown, and the first building was on Hampton Street. And so if you turn off Main Street onto Hampton Street and City Hall is on your right, the driveway that goes into City Hall, that's where the very first building of First Baptist Church was located. And then in 1918, during the last year of World War I, they had the opportunity to buy a lot, some land at the intersection of Main Street and Oakland Street, where Freedom Temple Ministries is now, because that's where we used to be before we moved out here. And there was a group of men, I don't remember exactly how many, I think it was about 8 or so, maybe 10, gathered in a home one evening, and they all agreed to take a second mortgage on their house to buy that lot for the church. See, God's given us the resources. We just have to trust him enough to give. 3 years, maybe 4 years, I forget. I was in the office. It was December, getting close to Christmas, just 3 or 4 years ago. I got a phone call from one of our members, an elderly lady who's in the nursing home. She wanted me to come by and see her. She wanted to talk to me. So I go by the nursing home. I think it's about a week before Christmas. And I sit in a chair beside her bed. She's bedridden. And we talk, and then I hold her hand and I pray with her. And she says, "Hey, Pastor." And she was in one that had two rooms, the bedroom and then like a little den. And she said, "Go in that other room, and there's a desk, and pull out the middle drawer. There's an envelope. Would you bring that to me?" I did. She opened it, and then she handed me a check for $50,000 to help pay for the debt on this property. Not rich, bedridden. A few months before, her husband had died, and I had officiated his funeral. And I guess in settling her estate, his estate, she wanted to give. That's what you're reading about in 1 Chronicles 29. See, God's given us the resources to do everything. Not just this building, the $7 million for missions, the money that's been spent in local community ministries helping people, all the ministries that you are a part of, every ministry activity that you get to take part in is funded by the giving of God's people. There's two more lessons real quickly. Number three, God will always give us the vision and he will give us the strategy. But he uses our hands to execute it, to get it done. I want you to notice that in chapter 28, verse 19, David says, "Hey, God gave me the plans," and backing up all the way to verse 11. But in verse 10, God said to David, "Tell Solomon, I chose him So to build it, so he needs to be courageous and act. Solomon, here's the vision. Here's the plan, a house of God for the Jewish people. Here's the plans. Now you got to be courageous and act. So we need vision from God, direction from God, leadership from God. But all the vision in the world is useless if we don't act. If we're not courageous enough to let him use our hands to actually do something. A lot of people talk about wanting to see this and wanting to see that. Put your hands to the plow and do the work, Solomon. And there were skilled laborers and many others who, they did the work of building that temple, and the same thing has been true here. I remember when we were constructing this building, before it was finished, you know, steel beams. Inside the veneer of these walls are all these steel beams. You saw some pictures. We had an evening when the church gathered out here and we prayed, and I can't remember if we called it Get on the Beam or Sign the Beam. Terry, you made it, something like that. And we all went around this building with our markers, and we wrote scripture verses, Bible verses on all the steel beams. There's a beam over here on that wall where I knelt down and with a marker wrote Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And so there's Bible verses on these steel beams. There's names on the baptistry. There's gravel underneath the concrete under this floor that someone held in their hand as they prayed for this church and for us and for you, and then threw a piece of gravel out there as part of the foundation. Takes our hands. And it's not just about building a building, it's about doing ministry. Over 7 years ago, God had been working in my heart. And how many of you have ever heard me say something like this? You've ever heard it? Part of the vision that we have is for every believer, each and every believer in this church, to be able to spiritually feed himself or herself. You ever heard me say anything like that? Yeah, like a broken record, right? Because when you can feed yourself on the Word of God, you've got something to feed others, whether it's your children or those who don't know Christ. And I could go into a long story of why, but God put that on my heart. It was a heavy burden. And I didn't know how we were going to do it. We do it today through our Bible reading plan, through our D group ministry. More people reading God's Word today than any time in our church's life. We had two pastors and some staff members here Thursday from the upstate, and they wanted to learn about discipleship and D group ministry, and we spent several hours with them, and we walked down to the preschool hall over here because we have on Thursday right at lunch after the day school dismisses Sunbeams, two women's D groups that are meeting, and they got to go in there and listen to those ladies talk about the accountability and the reading of God's Word and what it's doing. But you see, when God put it in my heart that I want everybody to be able to spiritually feed themselves, you know, I was weary of us having classes where we read books about the Bible but don't learn how to read the Bible, where we have textbooks. This needs to be the textbook. And we're at a conference with big sessions and breakout sessions, and I saw this description of a breakout session by a pastor I'd never heard of in a ministry I'd never heard of. I'm going to check that out. And I went in there, and he was talking about this thing called D groups. And I knew. And I walked out and gathered the staff and said, hey guys, we're doing this. There's no discussion. This is what God put on my, this is what I've been looking for. This is the strategy. See, God will give us the vision. Today we have 70 D groups. We started it in 2019 with three. Hundreds of adults in D groups, changing lives as people are engaging the Word of God and encountering Jesus and becoming more like Him and learning to feed themselves so they can then have gospel conversations with their children, have gospel conversations with the unchurched and the lost. But we got to do it. Evangelism, sharing the gospel. We challenge ourselves every day to pray these three prayers for God to give us opportunities to talk with someone today, courage to speak, and then pray by name for people we know who are not walking with Jesus. And sometimes we, I want so-and-so to be saved. I want people to be saved. I want people to be baptized. Are you praying? See, vision without the hands doing the work, wanting it without praying it, longing for it without speaking, wanting something doesn't get anything done. You got to want it, and then you got to do it. You pray those prayers, and I promise you, God will begin working in your life and giving you opportunities to introduce people to Jesus and invite people to church. Act. It's what David told Solomon. Be courageous and act. Now, the last point. I got 1 minute, so I'm going to go about 3 minutes over. Last point. God always provides people who are willing to do his work. God always provides people who are willing to do his work. Look at chapter 28, verse 21, the last verse. David says, Solomon, there's all these priests and Levites, and then there's every willing man of any skill will be with you in all the work for all kinds of service. There's these officials and the people, they will be entirely. He's saying, Solomon, you won't be alone. There will be people. It's easy for us. Sometimes we get so hung up on people who don't work, people who don't serve, people who don't give. We have people in this church who don't serve, don't give. And I want to say to you, I'm really glad you're here. I really am. I believe you are future disciples. Because not everyone today who is serving served in the past. Not everyone giving today has always given. And those of you who are here and you're not yet, thank you for being here. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. And I know the day will come when you will be growing more as a disciple and you will be serving in you. God will always have a people. But I am so thankful when I look around and I got to tell you, I'm thankful for the people who serve over here in the nursery. I praise God for that. I see the people who are out in the parking lot greeting you as you arrive, those who lead and teach life groups and facilitate D groups, those who sing in the praise team or the choir in the previous service, those who play in the band and the orchestra. God always have a people who's willing to serve, those who interpret for the deaf, who operate the lights and the sound and the projection and so on, who do the mixing of sound for the live stream for people who can't be here today. Those who are willing to serve by working with the children, the teenagers, who visit the homebound and serve as a deacon, those who will paint a house and build a handicap ramp, those who go on mission trips, those who willingly and gladly every week invite people to church and share the gospel with those who are lost, those who take a meal to a home when there's been a death or a surgery. God has a people who are willing, and I invite those of you who are not yet serving and giving to join us in this journey and be willing. Makes all the difference in the world. The list could go on and on. So what are we supposed to do? Let me wrap this up. Chapter 28, verse 8. In front of all of Israel and God himself, David says, Solomon, observe and seek after all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess the good land and bequeath it to your sons after you forever. What do we do? What God, through David, told Solomon to do, keep seeking and obeying God. Seek and obey God. Seek and obey God, and then pass it on. Pass it on. There were people here 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 100 years ago, and they passed on so that we're enjoying what God has given us today. Pass it on. He said, Solomon, seek and obey God so that you can possess the land and bequeath it. Pass it on to your sons and sons and sons who come after you. Again, I ask, what are we, what are you, what am I going to pass on to those who are here 20 years from now? Someday, not now, someday I will retire. I want to pass on to the next pastor a healthy church. Someday, Monisa and I will die. we're going to pass on to this church part of our estate, because I want to serve God and give to God after I'm dead. Pass it on. Bequeath it. See, God, He's always at work in every generation. To do something today, to do something in your life and in this community, but to pass it on. The churches we've helped start in England and Zambia and other states in America, passing the gospel on. Seek God in your life. Teenagers, seek God. Last story. The week before our first service here, we had a time of praying, and there were people walking all over this campus praying, all over this building. And I can still remember, I can see her, one woman, I know her name, they've moved away, I'm not going to mention her name. She was a young woman. And over here downstairs in the preschool hall, I can still see her. She was on her knees. It was tile floor then. She was on her knees on that hard tile praying for all the kids who would come through that preschool ministry. 20 years ago, that's what she was doing. And some of you teenagers and children in here, you weren't born yet, but she was praying for you that night. And the ministry God has used in your life is in part due to her prayers that evening. Every generation, not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about all of us and all of those who will come after us who are not yet part of God's family, who are not yet part of this church family. So I'm going to invite you to get on your knees here at this altar and talk to the Lord. Respond to the Lord about your part in all of this. Thank Him for what you have received, for what you have been given, for what you are enjoying. And I challenge you to renew your commitment to seek Him and to obey Him and to live in such a way that those who come in 10 years and 20 years will be blessed because of what you and I do right now. To get on our knees here and talk to God. Pastors are going to come quickly and stand so you can come to one of them if you want to pray with someone, join this church, be baptized, or give your heart to Jesus and be saved. But you also come and get on your knees here. Let's take time and thank God and pray about what we're going to bequeath, what we're going to do to obey God so that today and tomorrow we're building His kingdom. Let's stand and sing. You come quickly. You come quickly as we sing.